stand as we reverence the reading of God's Word. It's just good to be in God's house. Amen. It's good to be here tonight. I want to preach tonight and do a teaching tonight on the doctrine of repentance. Tonight, repentance is a doctrine that you find in the Word of God. We've looked in the past couple weeks at some doctrinal issues, but one is repentance tonight. Without repentance, I want you to know tonight, you will not have salvation without repentance tonight. A man must repent to be saved. A man must repent to have a relationship with Christ Jesus tonight. Acts chapter number 2 and verse number 38, the Bible says, "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Father, we love you and we thank you for this night. We thank you for the sweet Holy Ghost that's in this place. Lord, I thank you for the laughter. I thank you for what you do in this place every time that we come in. Lord, I thank you tonight for the list that need to be filled up. And Lord, tonight it got filled. Lord, I thank you for your people. I thank you for what you do each and every time, everywhere we go and everything we do. Lord, I pray tonight that you move in a mighty way. Lord, I pray for the one tonight that just has something going on in their life. Lord, I pray you touch. Lord, I pray you be with Blakeland tonight. Tonight, as she goes to get stitches, Lord, I pray you help her. Watch over that little youngin'. Lord, we pray it tonight in no other name but the name of Jesus, in Jesus' most holy, precious name, and all of God's people say it. Amen. You may be seated tonight. As we look at the doctrine of repentance tonight, I want to say to you tonight as we come here, the doctrine of repentance is as old as man. The doctrine of repentance is as old as you can get. But the sad thing is most preachers or most places you go to have ceased to preach on repentance, have ceased to preach on repentance, and most churches know nothing about repentance. They know nothing about repentance. Most Christians that call themselves born again, they know nothing about repentance. And God forbid we stop preaching and teaching the doctrine of repentance at this place. You say, "Preacher, what is repentance tonight?" Repentance is a little bit more. It's a whole lot more than just being sorrowful that you got caught. Repentance tonight is when you have remorse for your actions and what you're doing against our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Repentance is when you know that you have wronged the Lord. You've got to that place and you say, "Lord, I'm sorry. I am truly sorry for what I've done. I'm truly sorrowful for where I sent your son, Jesus. I'm truly sorrowful for what is going on in my life, and I repent. I ask forgiveness and I ask you to forgive me." Repentance is when you get to that place and you have remorse for what really is going on between you and God. To truly be sorrowful for what is going on in your life. You say, "What is that repentance tonight?" I want to share with you, number one, the requirements of repentance tonight. Did you know tonight that we are required to repent? We are required to repent before our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ tonight. If you'll look with me in Luke chapter number 13 and verse number 5 tonight, I want to show you in the Word of God where we're required to repent. You know what tonight? In my own life now, after I've been saved for some time, I let things build up. I let things go on in my life, and until I get to that place that I repent and say, "Lord, remove this. Lord, forgive me. Lord, help me," you know what? It'll just keep on being in my life. Can I say tonight, repentance gives you a clean slate. Hey, repentance tonight, when you truly repent and you truly get to the place in your life that you're sorrowful for what you're doing, it'll give you a clean slate in your life. The requirement of repentance we find, number one tonight, that Jesus required repentance. Look with me, if you will, in Luke chapter number 13 and verse number 5. The Bible says, "I tell you, nay," this is Jesus talking, "but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." So I see tonight Jesus required repentance. He said here that if you don't repent, you shall likewise perish. Can I say to you tonight that not only did Jesus require repentance, but John the Baptist required repentance. Turn with me, if you will, to Matthew chapter number 3. In verse number 2 tonight, not only did Jesus require repentance, but John the Baptist required repentance tonight as well. All the way through the Word of God, we see the word repentance. We see that a man must repent, that a man must get to that place in his life. You know, the hardest thing for a man to do is to admit that he's wrong and God is right. Anytime you get to that place in your life and you have to repent and you say, "God, you're right and I'm wrong. God, you're the Savior and I'm the sinner. God, you're the one that I need in my life and I need you to show up." Jesus required repentance and John the Baptist required repentance. John the Baptist refused to baptize anybody without repentance. Hey, can I say to you tonight, there is no local body church should ever baptize somebody until they repent. The Bible said in Acts 2:38, "Repent and be ye baptized." We must repent before we're ever baptized. And look at this tonight. In Matthew chapter number 3, in verse number 2, here's what John the Baptist said. And John the Baptist said, and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Tonight, I say to you, it's a requirement of repentance. Jesus required it. John the Baptist required it. The disciples required it. And when they taught and everywhere they went, look with me, if you will, to Mark chapter number 6, in verse number 12 tonight. You say, preacher, the disciples require that as well, and I say to you, they did. In Mark chapter number 6 and verse number 12, we see even the disciples were required and required people to repent. Mark chapter number 6 and verse number 12, the Bible said, and they went out and preached that men should repent. Why? Because repentance is important in our life. Jesus required repentance. John the Baptist required repentance. The disciples required repentance. And you and I are required to repent in the day that we live in today. You say, preacher, should I do that? I say to you tonight, you must do that tonight. The Bible teaches that very clearly. In Acts chapter number 17 and verse number 30, the Bible said, and the times of his ignorance, God winked at the time we was in ignorance and we didn't know what to do and we didn't know to repent. God winked at that. But the Bible says in Acts 17, 30, but now he commandeth all men everywhere to do what? To repent. There's requirement to repent, to get to that place in our life that we're sorrowful for what we've done, and we truly want to change in our life. I see tonight, number one, the requirement of repentance. But I see, number two, the reason we repent. You say, preacher, I see the requirement, but what is the reason? The reason is because we are sinners in need of a relationship with the Savior Jesus Christ, God Almighty. When you get to that place in your life, I want to give you this. When you realize you need to repent and the requirement of it and the reason we do, you say, preacher, what will it do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. You say, what will that do, preacher? Number one, it'll save your soul when you repent. And you ask Jesus Christ to come into your life, it'll save your soul. It makes a relationship with you and God to be saved, to be forgiven. You say, is it that important to be forgiven? I say to you tonight, it's very important to be forgiven. I see to be saved, to be forgiven, and to have fellowship with the Father. We repent. Tonight, I want you to get this. The reason we repent is to have that relationship with God Almighty tonight. And that's when we get to that place that we understand that the relationship has been broken or has been hindered. Have you ever had a relationship with somebody and you knew it had been broken and it had been hindered and you need to say, I'm sorry? You need to say, will you forgive me? Do you need to say, hey, will you please at least consider that in your life? Tonight, I want to get here and show you this. In Ephesians 1:7, it says, and whom we have redemption through his blood. It's the blood of Jesus Christ tonight that we have redemption. But how do we get that blood applied? It's when we repent and we say, Lord, I'm sorry and I need you to save me. I need you to come into my life. I need you to forgive me. We have that. He said in Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. I see tonight we're required to repent. I see the reason we repent, but I want to share the last thing. I really wanted to stop on this for a minute, but the result of repentance. The result of repentance when we do, and here's what it is. You say, preacher, what is the result of repentance? Have you ever got to a place in your life and you knew you, after you were saved and you was not in the will of God, and then you say, Lord, forgive me. Do you know what kind of burden come off you? You know what kind of monkey come off your back? You know how free you got? Can I say to you tonight, that's what we need to go all the days of our life. We need to run that way all the days of our life. I see we're required to repent, the reason we repent, but also the result of repentance. Here's what it is, that we receive an absolute pardon. We're absolutely set free. The moment a sinner truly acknowledges his sin and truly cries unto God for mercy, the result is a pardon, or he or she is forgiven at the moment of repentance. Do you know tonight, I want to give you this, there is a lot of people that believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. There's a lot of people that believe that God is who we say they are. But when you get down and you start sharing the gospel with them, and this is a doctrine right here, this is what will help your soul. Why do you go to the doctor and get medicine? Why do you go to the doctor and get shots? Why do you even go to the doctor? That you may get better, that you may get well, that you may get fixed, that you may get what you need. That's why we go to the doctrine in the Bible, that we may be fixed, that we may get well, that we may get what we need. I've sat many a times with people, and you get on the Romans road of salvation, and you get there, and you're trying to lead them to Jesus, and they believe a lot of things, but when you tell them that they need to repent, that they've done wrong, and they've wrong God. You know what they say? They say, I've been a good old boy, or I've been a good old girl. I've not done that bad. I've not done bad as so-and-so. Friends, tonight, can I say so-and-so's not your guideline? So-and-so's not your measuring stick. Your measuring stick is Jesus Christ. And you'll never add up to Him. I'll never add up to Him. So how do I get a relationship with Him? Through repentance. Through repentance tonight. And when we do that in our life and we ask Him to forgive us, immediately in our life we get an absolute pardon. We're pardoned and we're set free. And you say, preacher, what do I need to do from that point on? You need to live your life in a state of repentance the rest of your life. Now listen tonight. Repentance is not a one-time thing. Repentance is not a one-time thing. You say, preacher, are you sure about that? I'm positive about that. Repentance is something that we do, maybe not daily. Maybe you don't need to daily repent. But it's something that we do constantly in our life as born-again believers. We have a bad day. We say things we shouldn't say. We go the way we shouldn't go. We do things that we shouldn't do. And what do? We repent. We ask the Lord to forgive us. We get to that place that we're truly sorrowful for what we've done, and we ask God to forgive us. And we repent, and we get there. You say, preacher, is there anywhere in the Bible that you see this so clearly that people do repent? Look with me, if you will, this afternoon as we get here tonight. I want to show you this, if you'll look with me tonight, in Acts chapter number 2, in verse number 41. I want to show you this, that what happens when we do repent. Can I say to you tonight, at the day of Pentecost, 3,000 repented and got saved. Amen? It's recorded down, 3,000. Look in verse number 41. After they had repented and they were baptized, look what they said. Then they gladly received His word. When you have something between you and God, you don't receive the word the way you should. You don't. You read your Bible, you won't get it the way you should. But when you have a right standing between you and God, look at this tonight. Then they that gladly received His word were baptized, and the same day they were added to them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things in common. When you get to that place and you say, Lord, I need You. I need a right relationship with You. I need You in my life. Can I say to you, You have things in common with other believers. And all that believed were together and had all things in common. They sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as they had need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God. Praising God. True repentance produces praise. True repentance produces true praise. Now you can come in here, never miss a service, raise your hands, sing to the top of your lungs, dance around, have the best time you ever had, and walk out of here without a repentant heart and ain't done you a bit of good. It's when our heart, our mind, our soul, and our spirit is in fellowship with Almighty God. How do we get there? Through repentance, through the blood of Jesus Christ. That's how we get there tonight. We look at the 3,000 that was in Acts 2, 41 and 47. Praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily should be saved. He added to the church. We see the result of repentance at the 3,000 at Pentecost. But look with me, if you will, over into Acts chapter number 16 tonight. I want to show you this tonight. Acts chapter number 16 and verse number 25, if you would, through 34. And this is the Philippian jailer. This is when we get here tonight and we know that what's going on here. The Philippian jailer, he called upon the Lord. And here's what they said tonight. I want to give you this. Here, look what they said. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake. Acts 16 verse 26. So that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? He said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And they took them the same hour of the night, washed their stripes, and were baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. You said, what did that Philippian jailer do? He realized he was wrong and he wanted to make it right. He was willing to do anything to get out of what he was in, but he wanted to do what was right instead of what was wrong. Tonight, can I say to you this? We see the requirements of repentance. Jesus said repent. John the Baptist said repent. The disciples said to repent. You and I must stay in a constant repentant state. But let me give you this tonight. The reason we repent, but also that result. Tonight, I want to ask you this as we get ready to close. I want to ask you this. Where are you at tonight with Jesus? And when we look at this doctrinal statement on repentance tonight, I want you to know there's a lot goes on in a person's life. And you must stay in that state in your life. You must get there. Have you ever felt like, man, I need to be on my knees and you don't get on your knees? Have you ever felt like I need to be praying and you don't pray? Have you ever felt like, man, there's something going on, I need to get it right? That is the Holy Spirit working inside of you, trying to get you to that place in your life that you would truly repent. I want to say this tonight. I want to say this before I go, before we close. They'll be coming in just a little bit. I want to give you this. On repentance, the Holy Spirit can't make you repent. But it's the goodness of God that leads you to repentance. So what does the Spirit of God do, preacher? If it don't make me repent, what does it do? It shows you why you need to repent. It shows you the errors of your way. It shows you where you're at in your life. It shows you where you line up with. And tonight, that's what that Spirit of God does in your life. On the day of Pentecost, after the Holy Spirit was there and it was moving mightily, you know what it did? It showed them people they're wrong. And it said they were cut to the heart. And they said, what must we do? What must we do? And they said, repent. Repent. What are you talking about? Why? It puts a right relationship between you and God. You ever had an alt with somebody? Maybe a year, 2 years, 10 years, 20 years, I don't know. You've had that alt with them and you wouldn't say you're sorry? You said, what does that mean, preacher? Have you ever had somebody tell you they're sorry and you knew when they told you they didn't mean it? Huh? Little Ryder. Little Ryder, we in the potty training mode. And Little Ryder come out the other day, and I done whooped him. And he come out of my bedroom. And he come out, he didn't have no clothes from his waist down. And when he walked out, I said, where is your clothes? Where is your clothes? And he said, I peed on daddy's bed. I said, excuse me? I looked at Brandy, I said, if he's done that, I'm wearing him out again when we come out of that room. I said, show me where you done it. We went in that room. Now, how does that kid know the side of the bed I sleep on? Brother Harold, that don't have to be taught. We walked around on the side of that bed. He never climbed up on the bed. My side was wet. My pillow was wet. Down the bed was wet. And he said, I get a whooping? I said, big whooping. You know what his next word was? What was it? I'm sorry. I'm going to ask you a question. You think he is sorry? But Tony, was he sorry? He wasn't sorry. Why was he sorry? He knew he's going to get a whooping. That's not repentance. Simple, 3-year-old. That's not repentance. That's not repentance. Preacher, what's repentance? That's what a lot of Christians are doing. How far can I go? How far can I push? That's not repentance. If you want to know how far you can go or what you can do as a Christian, what you can get by with, that's not repentance. That's not repentance. Can I do this? Can I do that? Can I do that? Can I? That's not that's not it. Repentance is when you mess up and you say, Lord, I wished I'd have never been there. Lord, I knowed better. I knew I shouldn't have been. Lord, I'm sorry. And you're on your knees before an almighty God begging him to forgive you. Folks, that's what we're missing in the world we live in. People are truly not sorrowful for what they're doing. And that's being missed, taught in a lot of churches, I believe that today. And what we need in our life is to realize repentance is a requirement in a Christian's life. We got a reason we repent. And the result is that we have fellowship with the Father. We have fellowship with the Father. And I don't ask you this question. When was the last time you truly repented? And you say, Lord, forgive me. Lord, help me. Lord, I need help. I need you. The longer we go without asking him for his help and telling him we're sorry, it just keeps building a wall. Building a wall. And that spirit that you used to hear so clearly and so so vaguely. You could hear it clearly. Now it's just so vague. You barely can't even hear it. Why? Because there's something built up. When they said, "Sirs, what must we do?" He said, "Repent and be ye baptized." What did they do? They repented. Because that spirit was drawing that heart. Tonight, I don't want this church, I don't want this preacher, nobody in this congregation to get to the place that we don't ever repent, but we always stay in a repented mode and let God move. I pray you have a good week. I pray you take that word and you think about repentance and what God can do in your life. The only prayer God can't answer is that prayer that you won't ask. And the only prayer that Satan can hinder you from doing is that prayer you won't give up. Say, "Lord, here it is. Take it. Take it from me. Take this burden. Take this pain. Take this from me." And you're on your knees before Almighty God. Don't just pray in public. Make sure you pray in privately. Father, I love you and I thank you for this night. I thank you for the sweet Holy Ghost. Lord, I thank you that you move in a mighty way. Lord, I praise your name. I glorify you. I lift you up. Lord, I pray right now that you bless each and every one in this service tonight. Lord, I know from the hindrances that we've had tonight, the things that we've had go on, Lord, I pray tonight you cover it in the blood of Jesus. Lord, I pray tonight that you take this word. Lord God, you bless somebody's heart tonight. Lord, I pray tonight, Father, we get rest like never before. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Before you leave.